The Orange FM.
Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for the Let's Voltron podcast, the official Voltron podcast and the 30th anniversary of Voltron. And I'm here with Mike French, my co-host. How you doing, Mike?
Not bad. How have you been, Mark?
Great. Great, great, great. And I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this podcast.
We get to talk with one of the fans here.
Easily. One of the ultimate fans of Voltron, a legend unto himself.
And a legend around the world, I hear, too. You've made some fan friends at New York Comic Con as well, so we'll bring him on right now because before we start talking about all the cool things that Web has to offer, I'll bet you know he knows more than we do probably about that.
I would almost guarantee it.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
So without further ado, we want to welcome to the podcast Mr. Mark Oliver. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How you guys doing today?
Great.
It's awesome. Great to talk to you, man.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. All right, so, you know, while we're talking about, usually I ask Mike, is there anything new that's happening with World Events Productions? And I have an idea that you probably know, don't you?
Oh, yeah, they have I think it was posted, I believe, on Thursday. It was the Voltron Nutcracker. Only 100 of them have been made so far. It's actually available right now on the web store at store.voltron.com. And it's $149. I know it sounds a little bit pricey, but at the same time, you know, I actually saw pictures of it. It looks really great. I mean, it's something you could add to your collection, you know, just have fun with. And also, they also have a Voltron decal as well. It's a Voltron 30th anniversary sticker that you could, you can put anywhere, you know, on your car, whatever, wherever you want to do.
Okay. Do you have anything to add there, Mike?
Yeah, just in the sense that a Nutcracker is kind of a collectible that now crosses two interests. Voltron collectors, of course, will be interested in it, but there are also diehard Nutcracker collectors out there. These things are considered very collectible. Some of them are works of art, and I think that's why it's so cool to have a custom Voltron Nutcracker available, even in the limited quantity that it is. So I'm looking forward to seeing the pictures as people get them and take pictures of them in their collections.
Now, is that only available on store.voltron.com?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to talk about there, Mike?
The only news that we have coming up right now is, well, two pieces of news. We have the Robotech Voltron number 3 that's going to be coming out, I guess, within the next few weeks. Maybe it was next month. I have to look up the exact date, but it's got a really awesome cover that I posted on Facebook a few days ago. Looks like Max Sterling is trying to get away as fast as he can from a giant black lion that's taking out some sort of evil fighter behind him. I think when I looked at the cover, for a second I thought that it was Max flying away from the lion, but the lion, it looks like, is actually protecting him, like backing him up. It's a really, really cool cover. Really, really good job by Tommy Yoon. So I'm looking forward to that. And also, we announced, of course, that WEP, World Events Productions, and Voltron will be at Wizard World St. Louis Comic Con April 4th through the 6th of 2014. So that's just in a few weeks. And we're going to have two panel presentations at the event. I'll be there to assist and answer questions talking about the 30th anniversary of Voltron. So there's a lot that's going to be going on. We're really excited.
And that sounds great. Mark, are you going to be attending that one?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. I believe it's April 4th, 5th, and 6th, I believe. And, yeah, I'll definitely be there. I'm going to bring my Voltron costume down there and represent Voltron.
Awesome.
That's cool. I got to tell you, I saw that costume at New York Comic Con in October, and that was awesome. Did you want to tell us a little bit about how you put that costume together?
Yeah, it's trust me, it took a long time. It took over about 300 hours. It took about two people. My friend Ricky helped me build the thing. I went to there's another Voltron fan. His name is James Phipps, who also made Voltron costume, and he kind of kept me sane. Because there was times where I just wanted to, say, screw it and, throw the costume halfway across the garage. But, it was kind of frustrating. But, it's basically made out of, it's made out of cardboard and coroplast. And if you know what coroplast is, like, coroplast is basically, if you ever see those, like, mailbox crates, the post office uses, that's what coroplast is. Right. I made the feet with those and... I also used some of the coroplast for the arms for the red line and the green line, actually. Yeah, and then it's also made out of foam, too. And like I said, it's a lot of time it took. I would say it took about 3 months total. That was, like, working from, like, about June, July, and August, I would say, really, to put a big dent in it. And then to finish it off was more like, putting the detail work and painting and stuff like that. Yeah, it took a lot of time. King L4 had a telephone. I wish I could have called him and said, hey, how do I do this? But he didn't. So,
what were your first steps when you first started off? How did you decide you were going to start off?
The first thing I want to make sure is I had enough time. Like, I didn't want to rush it. I want to make sure it looked, actually pretty good. The first thing first is, based on, like, I actually used the Matchbox Voltron. That's what I used for just to look at and try to go off that and try to cut pieces and try to fit my arm sizing, everything. It really was kind of like, in a way it was pretty tough to do since it was the first one I ever did, but it actually came out pretty good. I made a lot of mistakes, a lot of trial and error. And at the end of the day, actually, came out pretty good.
So how many versions of it did you do before you finally got the final one?
It took we did about two or three chests. We couldn't figure out, like, the chest plate itself. We couldn't figure out which, what would look the best. Because there's actually two different versions if you actually watch a cartoon. Sometimes, like, the Voltron chest would actually have, like, the yellow crest with the white, with the green, red, blue, and I think there's another red in the background. And then the actual Matchbox Voltron toy actually has, like, just a blue and red with lines going across the chest. So I kind of want to make it, I made it where it was a little bit different. And I also put in LED lights in for the Black Lion's head, which that kind of took a little while to do because it took me basically like 5 or 6 hours just to wire it. Because at the end of the day, I thought I was doing something wrong, but it was actually a bad battery pack. And I had to go back up to Radio Shack and go get another one.
You really were making this after the Toynami 30th anniversary Voltron, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
Did you think about whether or not you wanted to have the accessories as well?
Yeah, I was planning on making a Blazing Sword at the time, but I didn't want to. I didn't know how it was actually going to, like, how I was going to be able to walk in it and all that stuff. So I kind of held back a little bit. But I think I'm going to make a Blazing Sword for the 30th anniversary and bring it to the panel, hopefully. Maybe I'll make it glow, too. I haven't decided yet. I'm going to try something different.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So all in all, could you put it together as to what the materials were and how much they cost?
Yeah, at the end of the day, what you really need is foam, cardboard, coroplast. The coroplast is kind of hard to find. I found mine actually at Home Depot, but they didn't actually have it in stock. I actually had it ordered online, and that runs about by itself about $50 right there. The paint I used, that ran me about $70 or $80 only because I had put so many layers on it. And sometimes when I was doing the costume itself, the weather wasn't really helping me out. And sometimes, like, the paint wouldn't, the way the weather was, either the paint wouldn't settle or whatever. So I had to repaint stuff. And like I said, the main thing is time. But between the coroplast and the cardboard and the foam, I'm trying to think what else I use for it. I think that's pretty much, like, the main stuff. You don't have to do the LED lights like I did or the wiring, but it ran about $300, maybe $350 possibly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a labor of love right there.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, it was fun. It was a good time doing it. I mean, I would definitely do it again. And What I wanted to do actually was to make a vehicle Voltron costume, but I didn't have enough time to do all that. But I plan on doing something like that next project.
So now that you've done it, what would you offer as advice to other people to make sure they do it, you know, with less pain?
All goes back to time. Just take a couple hours out of your day and a space. Just do it that way. Just take, you know, maybe two hours a day or 2 hours every other day. And just work up to it. Don't, you know, don't rush it. You know, just do, you know, there's going to be trial and error constantly. So just, you know, don't get frustrated with it. And, you know, at the end of the, you know, at the end of the project, you know, see what happens.
So was this your first time into the world of cosplay?
Yeah, first time ever. I never did anything like this before. And I enjoyed it. Like, I really did. Like, I couldn't believe when I went to New York Comic Con in October, like, everybody knew who Voltron was. And I probably took over close to probably about 1,000 pictures. And I'll never forget, after the first day I actually wore that costume, I remember going back to the hotel room and I passed right out. I was so tired. I woke up, my whole body was sore, like I was playing basketball or something like that for hours. And I'm like, I never knew it was going to be something like that. But yeah, it was fun.
You probably recommend then, if somebody's going to wear a costume like this all day during a convention or something like that, maybe they do P90X first?
Do P90X, you know, don't drink the night before, don't do any of that stuff, just go out, you know, just... Yeah, no, definitely. You got to be in shape for that. And I definitely wasn't ready for it. I thought I'd just put the costume on and, you know, be fine with it. And I thought it was. And it was hot in there. It was hot in there.
Well, I got to tell you, you were the hit of the panel.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
Everybody loved it.
Yeah, everybody did. And, you know, I'm happy I could help. Like, and, you know, for the people who, you know, were walking past, you know, either they came to the panel or didn't come to the panel, they knew who Voltron was. They wanted to, you know, get the picture taken with me and stuff like that. You know, it was awesome. It was a great time.
Yeah. Now, can you tell us when you first got involved with Voltron way back when?
Yeah, I was basically, I would say, I mean, I'm a little bit younger than you guys, but I was 3 years old when I first saw it. And the only reason why I remember this is because my mom was telling me that, you know, I used to watch it when I was little and she didn't know what it was at the time. And what ended up happening was a couple years went past and I remember seeing Voltron. It started on WUAB 43 here in Cleveland, and then it actually went from there to, I believe it was on the Cartoon Express, which was on, I think it was on USA in the early 90s.
Yeah, you're right. It was on USA.
Right, and I remember watching it then. I remember, like, I was right back into it when I was at age 8, and then eventually it just kind of disappeared off the air, and I'm like, you know, what happened? And not till when I was about 16, maybe 15 or 16 years old, it came back on, I believe it was Toonami,
right?
On the Cartoon Network. Mm-hmm. And that's when I remember the very first episode I saw again when I was like 16 was the episode where the blue line was stolen by Bokar. And I remember seeing that. And I remember seeing that when I was little. I'm like, oh, wow, you know, this is awesome. I can't believe this is back on TV. And I remember like that same, I remember going, you know, going through my garage and like, I'm like, I think I still got my, you know, my Voltron toys or whatever from when I was, you know, younger. I remember I went in the garage. I actually went in my parents' attic, and I found my Voltron Castle Alliance, and I also found, like, the Master Motorized LGN figures.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was missing the Blue Lion, and I found that stuff, and then it kind of got me into, like, all I wanted was the Blue Lion, and I remember going, like, at that time, they actually had eBay, but Voltron wasn't very popular, and I was actually able to find one there. I got it for like 49 cents with the shipping. I think shipping went a bit free. So
what was the thing that got you into collecting the first time? I mean, what said to you, okay, now I'm a collector?
You know, like after I got the Blue Lion, I'm like, you know, and I got the castle, I'm like, you know, at the time I actually got a job working at a local toy store. It's called Family Toy Warehouse. I started making money. You know, I was working there. I was making money. And I'm like, you know, I do miss, you know, Voltron. You know, I'm going to try to get a, you know, Matchbox Voltron. And at the time, like I said before, on eBay, it wasn't very popular at the time. eBay, or for Voltron, it wasn't. There was only about, when I remember when I first went on there, there was only about 20 items total on one page, and that was it. And I had to buy everything in lots. They didn't really sell one thing. It was basically, I had to buy, if I wanted to buy a Skull Tank, I had to buy a Coffin of Doom with it. So I had to kind of buy both, which I didn't mind at the time because it was still kind of cheap. But, yeah, so, like, I got Matchbox Voltron, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is cool. And then I remember, you know, people were like, oh, no, you got Voltron. I'm like, yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, do you have the, you know, the master, the big, huge LGN remote control one. I'm like, no, I don't, you know, I don't remember that. And then, you know, someone showed a picture of it to me, and I'm like, all right, you know what, I'm going to get this too. And then next thing you know, after that, everything Voltron I ended up buying, and, you know, it's just like, it's like a constant thing over and over again. And I love every second of it.
You've probably been a pretty good gauge for the prices that are out there on eBay and every other place that you can get Voltron toys, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So where, what time period would you say was the big time period when all the prices went up?
I would say probably, honestly, if it depends on like when you guys did your last podcast about, you know, the toy podcast, it was tough. Like this stuff, it's either hit or miss. Like sometimes Panache Place, so, like about 4 or 5 years ago, like Panache Place didn't sell at all, but now it's huge. The Trendmaster stuff, like sometimes, like right now, there's a couple of figures on there online right now that no one's bidding on, but there's also times I remember this year that, for example, there was a Stealth Voltron there that was in the box that went for, and people actually bid on for it, went for about $330. So it's kind of hit or miss with that. But I would say like 5 years ago was probably like the time I actually noticed how everything was changing.
Can you tell which types of toys are more popular based on just, you know, who's grabbing them up and how much they're getting them for?
I'll tell you, Matchbox will always sell the most. And Matchbox is always going to be the hardest one to get. That's what everybody wants to get. Now I'm noticing that the Panache Place also is beginning a lot of attention from, you know, a lot of people. After that, like the one main thing which I don't really see on there that often anymore is the Giant Commander Voltron, the LGN remote control one. The one I did see on there, the guy wanted $800 for it, and I don't know if anyone's going to pay $800 for it. But I remember when I first started collecting it, I got it for $40. So,
wow,
yeah,
$40. That's a bargain.
Yeah, in 2000, I got it for $40. That was with the shipping too.
Now, how much do you think they were really worth back when they were made?
You know, probably what you paid for it when they were first made. Like that's, you know, what it was worth maybe when, you know, what you paid for it. It's tough to put on there because when I did that toy manager, or when I worked with Jeremy and Tiffany on the figures.com thing, we also had to go through some kind of, we had to find prices for the toys that, you know, we had kind of. And I remember looking on there, I found some kind of catalog online. They actually had the Panache Place action figures for $2.97, and then they actually had like the red line, the green line, the blue line, and that was maybe $4.97, I believe I saw it for. So right. When I made it, it was only about $5 per figure, and I wish I could go back in time and grab more than one at that price.
Is any of this reminding you of anything, Mike French?
I don't know if you're thinking of something specific.
Like the Panache Place stuff you were talking about before, about how it wasn't really sought after, and now it is?
It wasn't. You're right. I mean, I used to, because my Panache Place Voltron, I still have from when I was a kid, and I kept it pristine. I mean, I played with it, but I was smart enough to keep the pilots and the lions when I got done playing, so I never lost any of the weapons or the helmets or anything, and the pilots stayed minty white. You know, they didn't really get too terribly beat up. And I remember when I would post photos of it in the early aughts, in the late 90s online, people would be like, man, I haven't seen one of those that nice ever since I've started collecting. But nobody really wanted them. It was more of like a curiosity. And then everybody wanted the Matchbox, like Mark said. And then sometime within the last 3 to 4 years, the Panache Place has gone crazy. And to Mark's point, I remember in 06, I was working at the newspaper, and I finally decided – I saw the ad for the Toynami die-cast masterpiece, and it reminded me that I never had a complete die-cast Matchbox when I was a kid. And I wanted the one in the original Voltron 3 box, not the gatefold box that came out later. I wanted the Voltron 3 box, because that's the one I saw at Children's Palace. Mm-hmm. And so when I went looking for one with the box and the styrofoam and the instructions and all that stuff, I ended up paying probably close to $400. Yeah, and wow. I don't even think I should say what I've spent on the Popigo Lion. And I have two of those. So, I mean, Mark's right. I mean, for some reason, these Voltron toys, they kind of like go in phases. Like I'm expecting the LJN motorized lions to start climbing in value next, because they're like the one little holdout where they're still relatively affordable. I did want to ask Mark, to that point, I've always been curious as to what the most difficult find was. And I don't necessarily mean the most expensive. I just mean What's been the hardest thing for you to track down thus far that you have in your possession?
Let's see. Wow. I have to go. I would have to say, I'm looking around the room right now. I'm looking. You know, it's funny you say it. It could very well be, which doesn't really show up that much, and I kind of find that surprising, is actually the Trendmaster's Voltron that was made in 1998. I would see that maybe, I would see it twice a month, maybe at the most. But besides that, like another thing too is the Stealth Voltron, the big 21 inch, I believe how tall it is. I think that's how tall it is. Figure that the Stealth Voltron, which I have, but I only seen one on there, maybe two in this whole year so far.
At what point did you make the transition to Vehicle Voltron and Gladiator Voltron in your collection? Like, at what point did you say, okay, I'm going to be a completist? Because I've seen pictures from your basement or your Voltron lair, and right. Looks like you've got it all.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Basically, what I try to do, like, I've always been a fan of Voltron no matter what. I didn't know anything about the Gladiator Voltron because I obviously never made it overseas, you know, over here by, you know, to the U.S. But basically, what I wanted to do was, you know, collect anything that had Voltron's name on it. I got most of the Lion stuff. And then at the time when I was collecting the Lion stuff, like, nobody really wanted the Gladiator Voltron, or they didn't really want the Vehicle Voltron. So I got that for, you know, real cheap on eBay. And then I believe I actually have everything that Vehicle Voltron outside, maybe. I don't know if, did they ever make a Gedaikin vehicle set by chance? Would you know?
I've looked at all of the Gedaikin stuff. I haven't seen one. Who knows? Maybe it just hasn't surfaced online before. But I didn't remember seeing it in the Gedaikin line.
Okay. I thought they've listed it on there. I've never seen one either, so I wasn't sure. But yeah, I pretty much have everything in Vehicle Voltron. I'm almost there with the Lion Voltron. I got everything from the Trendmaster's line. Hopefully, you know, when I get this done, I have everything when it comes to action figures and toys and, you know, DVDs and hats and T-shirts. So I'm trying to get everything, and I'm getting there. Not really, close yet, but I'm getting there.
How well documented, Mark, is all this stuff? I mean, like, because I sent you the photograph of the raincoat that I spotted at that toy show here in Atlanta. I've been curious about that. You know, how much of this stuff are you able to research and say, oh, yeah, I know that they came out with all this stuff for kids, you know, in school supplies or whatever. Is it well documented, or are you still discovering things?
I'm actually still discovering things. I never seen that raincoat before, that picture you sent me. I never seen that. I never knew they made one. I knew they made a backpack, but I never knew they made a raincoat like that.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing to me how much of this stuff is still out there to surprise us. You know, I just think that's really cool, stumbling on that stuff.
There's I actually got a list of everything from that figures.com that I was working on. I actually got like a spreadsheet printout, and you would be surprised of how many like manufacturers and toy licenses are out there for Voltron. I would say over 70 to 80, if not more. And that's just like, that's between not only toys, but they made bath towels, sleeping bags, like, you know, pillowcases, curtains. This is off the top of my head. I believe they made a race car track. I see that on eBay a few times, but they had a whole bunch of odds and ends stuff that I never knew even existed. Presto Magic stickers and all that stuff.
What's the oddest thing that you have in your collection that you like the most? Like, no, that's not a toy. Like, you know, the toys are famous, but what's the coolest thing in your opinion in your collection that's not a toy?
I'm gonna go with the newer USB the key. Mm-hmm. I think by far that is probably the coolest thing I have. Maybe that's not a toy. I also got the Yellow Lion, or not the Yellow Lion, but actually the watch from Meesters that they have.
Wow.
That used to be available, which I think it's really hard to get now. They actually have one on sale on the Voltron eBay store, a black watch. I think it's selling for about $299, I think it is.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pricey. Like, yeah, I've refused. I won't go. I usually keep track of how much I spend. I won't go back to add everything up. I don't want to do that to myself. I don't.
Which of your products that you have in your room there, which has deteriorated the most?
Oh, easily the Stealth Cycles from the Trendmaster line.
Oh, really?
The paint. Like, I never took them. Never you know, I never took them out of the box. I've always kept my room, you know, in a cool, you know, being cool inside. And I never have any like light in there, nothing like that. And yeah, just like the paint just flakes right off. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. But yeah, and that's probably like the worst quality. Same thing with the Voltrex Voltron, which I don't know if you guys have ever seen that before. That also flakes. That has a lot, you know, really bad flaking as well.
I've only seen those in pictures.
Yeah. I got it. Like I seen it, you know, I have it. I remember getting it. And I kept it like I kept it in my closet at the time. And before I started putting the shelves up in my room, and I took it out, and you know, there's just, you know, the paint was missing, and I'm, you know, I mean, I can't do nothing about it.
Well, other than the quality of those toys, did you get to see the actual Third Dimension show live when it was coming out?
Oh yeah, definitely. I remember the very first time. I think it was actually aired on September 18th of 1998. I remember seeing the very first episode of that.
And what was your impression back then?
I liked it. I mean, I felt like, you know, Voltrons came back on the air for the first time since, you know, 1984. I know, like, you know, the animation wasn't that great. You know, a lot of people complained about it. I really didn't mind it. Like, I kind of didn't look at it that way, where, you know, people were complaining about the storyline or people were complaining about the, you know, the animation was bad. But, you know, just seeing Voltron back on TV, I was just excited for that. And I did watch. I watched every episode. I believe I recorded everything on VHS. And I don't know what happened to those tapes. I'm sure those tapes don't work anymore, but. And I believe it was on Netflix for a while, and I don't think that's on there either anymore.
Well, I can tell you, I remember I was impressed that Voltron was one of the first ones that was trying that CG animation. And the Transformers Beast Wars was one of the other ones that had gone before it. But I was pretty impressed that Webb was getting involved with that.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, they took a big risk. I think, you know, we all understand it. I thought, like I said, at the time, you know, I thought it was good. I never seen anything like that before at that time.
Right.
I wasn't into Beast Wars or nothing like that. Or even, you know, I don't know if Transformers was made the same way at the time. I'm not sure. I don't really remember that.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, it was good for its time.
Right. So, getting back again, you had talked about the figures.com project, right?
Right.
Where is that right now? Where are we at in that project?
Last I've heard, they're still working on it. They're almost done with it. I don't have a release date or nothing like that, but basically, you know, the site's for, you know, collectors or, you know, fans. They can actually go to this page and look at all the toys that they had growing up. The same thing with, I guess, like, I believe it's like a, I think Jeremy mentioned before, like a Yojo site or Yojo.com. I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not familiar with
it. For G.I. Joe collectors.
Right. It's just like that. And you're able to go on there and you could trade, you could sell your stuff and kind of like that. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be exciting as soon as it launches. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. I don't have a very big collection, so I was looking forward to being able to look at some of that stuff. What about you, Mike?
I've always been fascinated by the depth and completism of Mark's collection. I have a vast retro toy collection myself. It's like I don't have it as nicely displayed as Mark does because of I collect loose examples of things that are complete, but I also collect a wider variety of things. I don't have a focus. And so, you know, I've got Voltron, Star Wars, He-Man, G.I. Joe, you know, Batman, Buck Rogers, you know, A-Team. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So to see Mark's collection is to see history. It's to see an entire merchandising history of one property, and that to me is worth its weight in gold, because a lot of these franchises, even something as mega popular as Star Wars, Lucasfilm still doesn't really know everything that was licensed and made.
Right.
And so so for Voltron, you know, we certainly don't know everything that was made in the 80s, but Mark is the guy out there on point figuring it all out, and it's nice that right now it's of a size that it might actually be doable.
So would you say that Mark Oliver is the Steve Sansweet of Voltron?
I would say if there's someone else that has more than he has, we haven't heard from them yet. They're clearly a hermit somewhere that's hiding, and I honestly don't think so. I think Mark is probably the Steve Sansweet equivalent.
So Mark needs to write the Tomart's guide.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, maybe that figures.com one will be the definitive guide.
That would be really awesome, you know, from days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the toy aisle comes Mark Oliver's collection.
So. Yeah.
And Mark, you and I were talking about, you know, maybe taking your collection on the road at one point. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, yes.
Yeah, we had actually talked to Tiffany a little bit about that, but it had been too late for this year's St. Louis Wizard World Comic Con, because they didn't have any, you know, extra space available for us. But the idea was that not only Mark, but maybe some other collectors, you know, around the country would come together in one place and bring their collections with them. And it would be almost like a touring museum, you know, where we'd get to see all the Voltron collections, everything that was ever done with Voltron, all in one place. And it would be like walking through history.
That would... I would pay to see that. I'd pay to go through that. Voltron, as you know, is very close to my heart. It's the greatest cartoon ever made, and I would love to see Mark's collection in person, because I've only seen the tantalizing photos.
Yeah, did you ever go to the Smithsonian when they had that Star Wars exhibit?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I went there twice.
It was small.
To me, it wasn't impressive as I thought it was going to be, because, you know, Star Wars merchandise is so vast.
Right.
But apparently it was only like the best of the best, you know.
Right.
So, and they didn't, you know, they didn't flood the aisles with this stuff. It was sparsely moved around like a museum.
Yeah, I think they had a big gathering of all of that, like in Japan. And then after that got done, they broke it into thirds or something and dotted them all over the country, and the Smithsonian was one of them or something like that. So
I still have a picture with myself standing next to the Yoda statue. It was a life-size Yoda statue inside a glass case.
Right.
And I remember pulling up my sleeve and showing my Yoda tattoo and having my picture taken.
I just remember being really angry that the Hoth Luke Skywalker costume had a Return of the Jedi lightsaber prop hanging from it. I was like, who's doing this display? Like, I can't believe this. Come on, Lucasfilm.
Well, I have a feeling Mark's collection would do Voltron justice.
Yeah, I did want to ask a lot. You reminded me of something when you brought up the Star Wars example. Mark, have you been able to track down or collected any of the animation cells from the original Go Lion?
No, I haven't. I've been looking around for years for that. And from what I've been reading and stuff like that, it's very rare to find. And, you know, there's a few people, I believe, on the Voltron message boards that actually has them. But yeah, I've not come across one. I do have an animation cell from the Voltron Force, a new, newer cartoon that just came out. So, but yeah, for Go Lion, no, I don't have anything.
Okay, well, I'll keep an eye out for you then.
Yeah, please do. What I've seen though, once again, if you go back to eBay, it seems, you know, for about $150. But I've been to conventions and stuff like that, I haven't even come across one. I've never seen one in person. So,
all right. So, Mark, let's talk a little bit about Voltron Force.
All right.
Where were you when Voltron Force debuted on Nicktoons?
No, right in my house. I believe it was at 8:30, and I had ordered myself a pizza, got myself a Pepsi, and I sat there and I enjoyed the show.
All right, now were you upset that it wasn't in HD at the time?
No, not at all.
Okay,
we dealt with from 1984, and then it was just regular 2D animation. We didn't have high definition then. We're looking at anything in stereo at the time, and then Voltron Third Dimension came out. You know, that wasn't in HD, so it didn't bother me whatsoever.
Well, I only say that because after it came out, I saw that it was available on iTunes, that I got the subscription right away, and I was also using that subscription to help do the screenshots for some of my stories for Toon Barn. The difference in the quality, obviously, was much greater on the iTunes version. But I just wanted to know, what was the first thing that struck you when they did, like, the New Defenders trilogy? And what was your idea about the cadets and everything?
Like, their idea was basically go, you know, towards kids, and I'm all for that. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna say anything bad about that. It is, you know, it is a kid show. No, I enjoyed it. Like, I like the idea of hitting the cadets. It kind of fit, like, you know, when you're a kid, you always wanted to, you know, to be a pilot of, you know, Black Lion, Green Lion, Red Lion, and you had the cadets right now in that show that wants to do the same thing that you wanted to do growing up.
Right.
So it was, you know, it was fun, even for me, you know, at the age of 30 years old at the time. So.
Well, I enjoyed it because I was watching it with my son, but it was like seeing something brand new for the first time that was an all new Voltron story, you know, so I was happy to have it and to be able to share it with my son.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel that way, especially, you know, growing up and, you know, you actually have a cartoon to watch with your kid and something that you actually grew up with is actually nice to have.
Right. When you first saw that the Voltron Force members had these Voltcoms, what did you think about the Voltcoms?
You know, to me, you know, it was just part of the show. I didn't think it was a good idea. I didn't think it was a bad idea. I just, you know, it was just something that, you know, that they wanted to incorporate with, you know, each cadet, and, you know, it gave them their own little special powers, and, you know, it was something that, you know, it was a good idea to have.
How about those holographic, like, chairs and holographic screens and everything that they could touch that were holographic?
Yeah, that's, and I wish we had that now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, who knows, it could happen in the future. But, yeah, I mean, that was a good idea, too. I you know, like I said, you know, it's a cartoon, you know, it's, you know, for your own imagination and, you know, for all the kids' imaginations. I mean, like I said, I thought it was very well written. I thought the animation was good, wasn't the greatest, but at the same time, you know, when I'm not the type of person, I don't sit there and criticize animation or storylines or nothing like that. You know, I'm a Voltron fan, and you know, anything Voltron, I'm happy with. So.
Right. Did you immediately think that there was going to be some merchandise available in association with the show?
Oh, yes. I'm not happy. Yeah. Trust me. Yes, yes, yes. I wish we still had our, Blue Lion, or I'm sorry, Blue Center or Green Center Voltron, but I've heard, you know, another podcast, and, you know, it's sad. It's not going to happen, most likely.
What was your favorite of the new configurations?
I think the favorite one I think I have, I love the Blue Lion. I don't know. I think just, what is it called?
Blazing Trident?
Yeah, Trident. That's what it is. I'm sorry. Yeah. And also I had the Green Lion with the, you know, with the shield and all that stuff. And
Voltron with the boomerang shield.
Right. And like I said, I thought it was a great idea. Like, I was like, you know, people had problems with that. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was something totally different. It like I said, it brought another dimension to the whole series. And, you know, it was definitely something that, you know, they could have built upon. And, you know, if we got a second season, that, you know, who knows what could have happened.
Right. Going forward then, also from that, you know, the season ends with, you know, the last episode, Black.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Daniel has to give his key back for Black Lion. What did you think was going to happen with season two?
I thought Daniel would have been a bad person. I thought maybe he would have maybe joined with, well, we all know, I think King Lotor supposedly, you know, vanished or died or whatever you want to say. I thought maybe he would join Mayhawks, maybe, possibly. Or, you know, did Mayhawks, did he die at the end too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically,
he would have been the main.
The evil was gone from the universe. So basically, at that point, so the only thing left was his Hegarium infection. That was the only evil left.
Right. Yeah. It's I wish, you know, like I said, I wish it could have been season two to see what could have really happened with it. I know, with the 30th anniversary book, it's supposed to be, they're supposed to tell you the story, the end of the story, I believe.
Yeah. Did you listen to our podcast about that?
Oh yeah. Yes, I did.
Okay. So sort of, and Jeremy had talked about this in, I think, the mailbag episode, you know, basically Daniel goes a little rogue, you know, like a Boba Fett, and, he, you know, he's probably becoming, you know, the one that they need to go after to make good. And it's just like Sven when he gets his infection, right? They don't give up on him. And like in the third dimension, when Merla and Hagar are, you know, saying things to Sven and he's going against the force and all that kind of stuff. They don't give up on their own. They never do. And I think that's great about those characters.
Right, right.
And we were talking about that with Mark Handler too, and you know, it's to the strength of all the writers that have ever written Voltron, is that it's not the Galaxy Alliance way to turn their back on anybody.
Right, it is.
So, Mike, is there any questions that you had for our super fan here?
Yeah, I wanted to ask the ultimate fan, Mark Oliver. I wanted to ask what your thoughts are on a sensitive subject. You know, I say that with a little bit of tongue in cheek. I wanted to find out your thoughts on some of the best way to describe it is the passion of Vehicle Voltron fans, and you know, your thoughts on Vehicle Voltron and Lion Voltron. I'm not trying to pit the two against one another, but it seems like there's you know, some real driving force behind the Vehicle Voltron movement, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I've always been a Lion Force Voltron fan myself, and that's not taking anything away from the Vehicle Voltron or their fans or nothing like that. That's just me, and that's how a lot of people are. They always, when they talk about Voltron, you know, a lot of people just remember it being the Lions, not the vehicles. Like, you know, for myself growing up, like, you know, five characters for me at that time, and even now is enough to, you know, to remember. But to have 15 vehicles and 15 members, and, you know, have a land team, a sea team, an air team, it was just too much for me to handle. But I do know the one huge Vehicle Voltron fan, Gregory Tyler. I mean, you know, he's definitely one of the biggest fans, and even, you know, even for himself, like, he's realistic about it. He understands, like, that, you know, Lion Force Voltron is more popular, but it doesn't mean, you know, you can't be a Vehicle Voltron fan, or it doesn't make the Vehicle Voltron you know, any less, or, you know, any worse than a Lion Voltron. But, you know, everybody has their taste, and like I said, I'm more of the Lion Force fan. Like I said, I don't mind. I've watched Vehicle Voltron. You know, this wasn't for me. I mean, I still support it. I mean, I'll take that, you know, I'll take that, you know, any day of the week. But, you know, it's really hard because especially when you go on like social media and Facebook and stuff like that, and, you know, I've seen a couple of your posts, you know, you posted some of the Lion stuff, or even when you post some of the vehicle stuff, you know, when you post some of the Lions, you see people talk about, you know, oh, you got to show more of the vehicle and stuff like that. I consider it just a big family. Like I don't like to choose, you know, one over the other. I figure it's one big family. And, you know, that's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, you know, we just found out that Power Rangers and Voltron were created by the same guy. You know, when Mark Handler told us his stories about the original creators of Voltron. And if we can get Power Rangers people and Voltron people together, we can certainly get Vehicle Voltron and Lion Force Voltron people together, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, I don't want it to be a competition. What's better, Vehicle Voltron, Lion Voltron? The name itself, Voltron, you know, that's it. It should just be Voltron. It doesn't matter which one. And you know, a lot of people don't, you know, I think a lot of people kind of forget that, you know, between, you know, we're all a fan of it, you know, and we all should be, you know, just, you know, love something that you grew up with and just have fun with it. You had fun with it with, you know, when you were a child, you know, just have fun with it now.
Right. Well, that's great. Here we are. We're at the 30th anniversary of Voltron. And there's all these events that are lined up to celebrate Voltron. All right. If you could have the ultimate fan party for Voltron for the 30th anniversary, what would you have in your party?
You and Mike.
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you.
There we go. You guys are fans. Yeah. Anyone who's a Voltron fan, man, come to the party. Let's go. Yeah. I mean, what's that?
How would you organize it?
Well, that's a good one. That's a good question.
Should it be in St. Louis?
Oh, definitely got to be in. Definitely where the home is. Definitely you got to do it in St. Louis.
It's kind of a geographic center to the country anyway, right?
Oh, definitely.
What would you do for the fans around the world?
I give them each a toy if they come.
Wow,
I would do that.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, it being the 30th anniversary, like, you know, 30 years has gone by, makes me feel really old. By the way, I'm just happy, you know, in the sense that, you know, Voltron is still alive, and there is such a big, huge following for it. Hopefully, you know, we have another, you know, we'll be talking again for the 60th anniversary, you know, next time.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we should go over, you know, what some of your favorites are. Who was your favorite pilot?
It was Sven. I mean, until he suddenly got sick and, you know, disappeared. But, yeah, it was by far Sven. And if I had to pick a second one, it was actually Lotor.
All right. What did you like about Lotor?
You know, it was kind of like him, you know, he was kind of being a little bit, he's, you know, obviously, you know, he had this tough side to him. Plus, he was a little bit arrogant, which was kind of like, you know, it was kind of fun to see. You know, there's episodes where he doesn't ask, he just demands. And, you know, people, you know, he acts like people always should look up to him. So it was just kind of fun to see that.
Okay. Who was your favorite Lion?
It's got to be Black Lion. It's just the leader. I mean, if you don't have the Black Lion, you can't form Voltron. Simple as that.
Okay. That's cut and dry and easy.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just thinking maybe you were going to talk about some of the weapons that each of the Lions had or, you know, anything like that. But, hey, you went right for the leader. That's fine. That's fine.
Please. Yeah.
All right. So what was your favorite, I would say, vehicle other than a Lion?
From Vehicle Voltron, or do you just mean in general?
It could be either from Vehicle Voltron, or maybe it was one of the other things that the Voltron Force used in the Lion Force episodes, or in the third dimension, or in Voltron Force.
About Awesome Tron, that was actually pretty. I thought that was actually a pretty good idea. I thought it was kind of was actually going to stick around for a little bit, but I believe it only lasted like two or three episodes, and then it got destroyed.
But it got destroyed saving Voltron, right?
Right. That would be nice to see a toy, something like that, like a limited edition type of toy. That would be nice to see.
Yeah, that would have been nice. You weren't big on the Mousetron, huh?
No, you know, I was really a big fan of the mice in general, but I mean, you know, like, well, once again, I mean, if it wasn't for the mice, they would never have found the key. So, you know, but it was a good idea. Like, and obviously it did, you know, help him at the end of the episode where it shot, was it a pin in Lotor's eye?
Yeah.
I believe. And then that's what caused the explosion and made Sven and Lotor fall into the water, we'll say. Yeah, I didn't mind. Like I said, the mice didn't really, I wasn't really a big fan of the mice, but.
Okay. All right. Do you have a favorite episode?
It's got to be the first three. It seemed like a three-part episode where you had, you know, you had the background story of, you know, the pilots and whatever. And then the second episode you had, you know, them looking, finding the castle and getting there and getting the keys. You know, and then the third episode, they find the missing key and inform the, you know, Voltron. You're just sitting there waiting for it. And it was exciting to see. That's the one episode I will always remember, and it will always be my favorite.
Okay. Did you have a favorite series?
It's got to be the original Lion Force, or Lion Force Voltron, by far. And if I had to rank them, I'd probably do the Lion Force. I guess I'd do Gold Lion after that, if you want to combine all of it together. Because a lot of stuff from Gold Lion, when I watched it, I went back to Voltron, and I'm just sitting there, I couldn't believe it. You know, a lot of the stuff that they cut out. But yeah, I'd take the Lion Voltron, then probably Gold Lion, then Voltron Force, Vehicle Voltron, and then Voltron Third Dimension.
Okay, so back when I was starting watching all this, I had to go with what episodes came out at the time. At that time, it was in the afternoons, and it was on a daily basis, weekdays. So now, today, if you're coming up with somebody who has never seen Voltron before, what is your recommendation now that they have all these episodes available to them that they could binge watch? Where would you start them?
You gotta start at the Lion Force, and you gotta start at the very beginning, episodes 1, 2, and 3. And then, you know, if they like it, then, you know, have them continue to watch the show. But, you know, like I said, a lot of people might, you know, if especially now, you know, they might actually like, you know, Gold Lion now compared to Voltron, but you know, you gotta go back to its roots, which was, you know, in a way it's kind of Gold Lion, but you know, for us, it's Voltron. So I'd definitely start with the Lion Force, and then maybe after that, go to the, you know, Vehicle Voltron, and then Voltron Force. Kind of how, I mean, you could probably skip the third dimension, you know, but you know, you get to throw that in there as a bonus if you like.
Yeah, I don't think Mark Handler would like it if you skipped the third dimension.
No. You know, it's funny. I remember when I went to, I believe it was right when Third Dimension came out, they used to have people on, they actually had a chat room on their message board. And they used to, I believe Mark Handler, it was actually on there one time. It would answer fans' questions. And I think some people from the from Netter Digital was on there also. And they actually had, I think they actually had maybe one of the voice characters as well on there too.
Okay.
And everybody was being, was, you know, everybody was in there, you know, talking to everybody and they were answering questions. I think they used to do it almost once every week.
Wow.
For a couple of months. All right. It was a good time. And then it stopped, I believe, at their dimension was over. And then I believe they got rid of the chat room and everything. So.
Well, when you watched Voltron Force, did you participate on Twitter with Jeremy?
Yeah, I did. And I actually won a couple. I actually won like vinyl Voltron for one of the questions. I don't remember which question it was, but yeah, I won there. I won a toy on that. Yeah, I used to follow him as the episodes are going on. He was, you know, they would tweet about it. So yeah, I used to follow that all the time.
That was kind of cool, huh?
Oh yeah, it was awesome. It was a great time. Like I, you know, with the technology we have now, you know, with social media and stuff like that. I mean, it was awesome. It was definitely a fun time.
My son, when I first did that, we were watching the show together, and he's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm talking with the producers of the show." Why? He's like, "How are you doing that?" And I'm like, "Through Twitter. How else?" Yeah. Yeah. He didn't understand what Twitter was at the time. So, you know, that was pretty cool. And then, you know, did you participate in the Twitch TV thing that they had for the THQ video game?
No, I saw it later on. I was actually at basketball practice when that happened, but I was coaching basketball at the time, and you know, they're practicing, and I remember going on my phone and actually watching it on my phone as, you know, I was supposed to coach basketball, but and I was trying to follow it then. Yeah, I saw it later on, but yeah, that was when they did the THQ release, and that's when they had all the original cast members playing the game and stuff.
Right. They had Michael Bell and BJ Ward and Neil Ross. And Neil Ross actually did the formation of Voltron script part again. And then they got to play the game, and they were there with Team Unicorn and Seth Green and everything. And then they asked a bunch of trivia questions for the fans that were watching on Twitch TV. And I was actually the one that answered the question about Albagos. So I was able to get a Blazing Sword Voltron for my son.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. And that's the one that my son likes the most, the Blazing Sword Voltron.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the best toys, you know, recently that they made. I also like the Maddie Collector one. I know a lot of people, didn't like it because of the spring-loaded stuff. And I actually have like one of the lines out of the box. And I thought it was, you know, it was decent quality. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't sit here and play with the toys. Is that going to, you know, for me, like I said, just for being a collector, you know, I was perfectly fine with it.
Did you ever see Mike's videos from Retro Blasting?
Yeah. And Mike, by the way, you do a great job with that. I just actually started watching some of the stuff. I just saw the one video with, I believe you're at some convention and you were talking about the Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And some comparisons to some movie that came out before that, or no, after that, or before that.
Yeah, Gunga Din with Cary Grant.
Right.
Yeah, we have fun doing things like that. My Maddie Collector grievances are enhanced because it was so close to being perfect. And if they had just kept the level of quality up with the action figure pilots from the quality we got with Lance, and then the quality we got with Sven and Keith to a large degree, but all the misfires in the middle with Pidge having swapped thighs and Hunk having really loose legs and Princess Allura having a weird like chin position and stuff. If we had just, and the paint apps being kind of messy, but with the lions themselves, they would have been perfect had they just had posable legs rather than those spring-loaded things. Because like you, as a collector, I really wanted to pose them on the shelves, not play with them, but pose them dynamically.
Right.
And they just kind of have to sit in not even neutral poses, but very almost like
stiff.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello the Mummy kind of poses, because there's only one way that they can hold their own weight up. So that's really my issue. I have been schooled by some hardcore Maddie Collector, Voltron fans who have shown me the way as to how to pose the full robot. But it always involves him like going into a yoga pose. And I'm like, well, that's very dynamic and cool, but sometimes you just want to save space and, you know, stand him up straight. So I'd like him to be able to do that without tipping over.
So. I believe also I heard some people having problems with some people were actually getting lions. They actually had paint on them, like some green paint on a black lion or some blue paint on a black lion. Yeah, so I seen a couple. I mean, I don't know if that was just, you know, bad luck or, you know, that was something on them. I'm not sure, but. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be too happy about it either, especially I know the Black Line sold out in like, I believe it was like 11 minutes when it first went on sale on MaddieCollector.com.
Yep.
Yeah, they when I went to Chicago for the C2E2 convention they had, and that was a convention where they were showing, they actually showed like the second last episode of Voltron Force, and they actually raffled one of them off. Yeah, like when I went to Chicago, I actually won the a set there. So I actually have one in a box, one out, you know, or I actually got two sets in the box. I want to open up one set, but I can't. I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
All right. So, Mark, you've been listening to the podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So what do you think of it so far?
I love it. I love it. I love it. Like, I don't, you know, I've not missed an episode yet. I know you can download them, whatever, but the minute that it comes available, I listen to it. You guys have great guests on here, you know, between, you know, having Jeremy as like a, you know, like a special guest, I guess you could say, to join you guys to. You know, having Tommy Yoon and Ryan Smith, and you guys had Mark Handler on there. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's really fun.
Right. And have you ever read any of the comic books?
You know, I haven't gone through all of the whole series yet. Like, I'm still actually on the whole Image Comics and the stuff made by Dan Jolly. I'm still on that. I'm a type of person where I can't read one comic book and wait a month for another one or a month and a half. I have to get the whole series and I could read it. So,
you know, the Revelations DVD that I have.
Yes.
All right. You don't have that one, right?
No, I do. I got it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Of course you do. Darn.
Sorry.
Can't get him. All right. So, have you seen it?
I have, I'm looking at it right now. I remember when I first bought it, I watched it when I first got it. I think it came out in 2008, I believe.
Yeah.
But I don't know much of it, I don't think.
And Dan had said that he had actually seen it on the Sci-Fi Channel late at night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I guess it got a short little run on the Sci-Fi Channel, one of their late night things. But I thought it was, you know, even though, you know, the quality could have been better and it would have been great if they would have told the writer they were doing it. It would have been cool to see that done in a you know, a higher production value.
Did it have the two options where you could either, was it you could actually read it off the TV, or did you actually have to voice some voice actors for it?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So you had the bubbles that you could read, or you could do it with just the animation and voices. So have you collected any of the other things that have to do with Voltron within the realm of non-toys?
Yeah, I got every single set of shoes, I guess you could say. I have like that Reebok made, not the ones. There's two different sets. There's a set where you get with the lions with the set of shoes. Those came out, I think, in 2006. I think they only had like a short run of them. I know that it sold very well, and I think they sold out real quick. I haven't got set. I don't have those, but I do have their newer Reebok ones. I think they came out in 2008 or 2009, and they came in blue, black, you know, just the color of the lions. And I got the shoes. I got all the Reebok hats, all the new era hats. I got the beanie winter hats and the two that are out. I got all from 1984. I got all the Voltron coloring books, sticker books. The one sticker book, but the other like watercolor sets and magazine articles that actually has Voltron in there. I believe, I think someone, Mike, I think you posted the one from the Starlog, I believe.
Okay, I think you're right. I remember posting a Starlog issue with the sort of rundown on the origins of the Voltron and vehicle Voltron shows. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got that exact magazine with along with the art book that just came out. So yeah, I mean, I just don't collect anything with just toys. I mean, it's basically anything that's Voltron on it. Pretty much, you know, almost have or I do have.
How about those Media Blasters DVDs? Do you have all those?
got all the Media Blasters DVDs. I got, all five lines. I got the, and I bought the other set with the part one and part two, where they just put the, they put the first three, they should put the blue line set, the yellow line set, and the green line set into one. And then they put the other, they put the black and red, I believe, and part of the green in part two. And I also got the, before that even, I believe in 2006, I would maybe say 2005, I bought DVDs from Australia, made by Madman, I believe that's what the company was called.
Right.
Shipping, I remember paying, I think it was about $30 here per DVD. But at the same time, it was, the only time Voltron was on DVD. Like, we didn't have that here at the time.
So you went for it, huh?
Yeah, I went for it. I believe my brother gave it to me for Christmas. I'm pretty sure he did.
Now, were those region one, were they able to be played on DVD players here?
No, you had to buy, I believe it was a region, I would say it was region three. I could be wrong on that, but okay. Yeah, it would not work here. You had to buy a special DVD player for it. Wow. Or buy a region free DVD player for it.
And you are hardcore.
Yeah.
Now, you saw all the bonus material on those DVDs, right?
Yeah, they had a couple. Yeah, from what I remember, like, I had to think about it, but they had the Murphy Lee, if you guys remember, off the original Media Blaster set. They had the Murphy Lee interview on there, and they also had a couple. I believe they had the toy commercials on there, and they also had, they actually had the extended version of when World Events took those kids on a plane. It was a kind of extended version of it.
That was the Voltron Express, and that was right. From Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Right, and I believe they had an extended version of it. They had some special features on there. It's pretty good.
Right, and what were your first impressions of the actual Voltron story? How the show got started, how it was made, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's so amazing to me how it was basically kind of made by, in a way, it was kind of a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
How they asked for the one set of DVD, which I think was I believe it was. I know, because they were supposed to make a trilogy of Daltanius.
Daltanius.
There we go. That's close. And, they end up getting, basically Gold Lion. And surprisingly, I can't believe, then the amount of work they had to do between cutting, editing all the violence out of it to making a kid's cartoon, it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get to read out all about that in the book, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Now that we've asked you all these questions and everything, is there anything you wanted to ask us?
No, I don't. I don't think I have any questions for you guys. It's more of a thank you guys for doing this. If anything, and I appreciate everything that you guys do. For this Voltron podcast, and not only me, but I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way as I do about it. So thank you.
Is there anything that we can do that would make you just really, really happy as a Voltron fan? Is there a particular guest you want on? Is there somebody you're really interesting to find out their story about Voltron?
Yeah, I'd see maybe, Tiffany on here, or, Bob or Ted Koppler. I think that would be, I think a lot of people like to have, those as guests on the show.
Yeah, I think they'd be great too.
I can talk to Bob and find out what his schedule is, so we can try and make that happen. No promises, but I'll do my best.
Mike, our number one super fan, has requested it. I think we should do this for him.
Okay, all right. I'll tell Bob that Mark Oliver has personally requested to hear a podcast with Bob Koppler.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Oh, that would be great.
I'll do that.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for coming on the podcast with us, Mark.
Oh, anytime. Thank you guys for having me on here. So this is the first time I ever did a podcast. And, if you would have told me when I was, 16 years old that, 14, 15 years later, that I'd be, right here, on a podcast talking about Voltron still. I mean, I never would have believed it. So thank you guys for having me on here.
Yeah. And to this day, what's still your favorite part about Voltron?
Oh, it's funny you say, it kind of changed. Like, being a fan of the cartoon itself is great. But, with social media and everything, talking to you guys, talking to other Voltron fans, especially through Twitter, social media and stuff like that. How it's basically, we're like a big, huge family coming together, kind of like how Voltron is, come together to form one.
Right.
We're one big, one big group that, that love Voltron, and, we'll always, love Voltron for what it is.
I think that's great. I think that I I reflect those sentiments exactly. I think one of the coolest parts about it is just coming together with the other fans.
Right, right. And especially when, you know, like I met you 2 years ago, Mark, and right. I met your wife and stuff like that. And, you know, we had a great time hanging out together. And, Mike, hopefully I see you in St. Louis. And
yeah, I'm gonna make a point of tracking you down. I don't think you'll be hard to miss, or hard to. I don't think you'll be hard to spot because you'll probably right. be decked out as Voltron. But I can't wait to hang out with you, man, and talk Voltron and just kind of, you know, get to know one another.
Yeah, well, it's hit some bars out in St. Louis, but only have one drink and that's it. we can't drink too much for the, you know, especially if we had to do something the next day for a panel. Can't we have one?
Yeah, especially when Sunday is Kids Day. I can't do that.
It's almost like a working vacation, isn't it?
On some level, yes. Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on, and we appreciate, you know, all the fans, not just you. You are by without a doubt a super fan, and we know there's a number of super fans out there, and they follow this podcast, they follow us on Twitter, they follow us on Facebook, and they're on the forums, and there's a ton of ways to get to us. And if you go to letsvoltron.com, we'd like to hear from you, we'd like to hear your comments, we'd like to hear some reviews on iTunes and rated on iTunes, and see what, you know, we want to see what you have to say about the podcast, about Voltron in general, and, you know, we're happy to have you guys with us. So for Mike and for Mark, for this week, I want to say thank you, and let's Voltron!